Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. It's good to be back. A nice little Labor Day off. I hope your Tuesday morning's going well. Congratulations to all the parents, finally. I think a lot of them had already done it, but the ones that are finally getting rid of their kids out of their house.
You made it, everybody.
No, it's one more day in Lake Oswego.
What are we doing, Lake Oswego?
Well,
ass back to school.
I think the freshmen go to high school today.
It's freshman day at high school.
And everybody else tomorrow. The freshmen get a day to get in there and figure out where they're going before they get teased and harassed.
But the West Side, I think a lot of West Side pockets are a week ahead of our school system over in the East.
It's so weird how different it could be.
Beaverton started August 26th.
Yeah.
That one.
What?
Not right.
Portland started a while ago. It's very weird.
Should not be starting school in August.
5 feet away from each other, but we got different school start times. That makes total sense.
My niece is going to PSU, and I was like, when does she start? And my sister-in-law's like, oh, end of September. I go, oh, she's on that beautiful end of September.
That's right.
Early June.
Yeah,
schedule.
Nephew number three is going to Oregon State. And he's got another week and a half before move-in day.
Yeah, we had a kid in the neighborhood getting ready to go to Oregon State. He was moving out yesterday. He had a U-Haul in the neighborhood. I'm like, who's, oh, that's right. Going off to college. Here he goes.
Dirt was right. Did he take any skunks with him?
Ooh,
we'll get to
hope
that.
So, yeah. We're in the news. I tried to tell you guys it's a bit of an
it's
issue.
A lead
nobody
story.
Nobody right wanted to pay
after
attention
the
to me.
LSU. No, it was
No, it was LSU Clemson.
LSU
Saturday
Clemson.
Night. Yeah, the K2 News had it. Now everybody, I saw it on KGW this morning too. Everybody's jumping on. I tried to warn you. It's a big deal. Nobody listened to me.
Hey, man, we're just ahead of the game out here warning you about what's happening.
Hopefully there's no skunks in the cafe this morning.
Some of the most woke progressive people in America are debating how to murder skunks.
How do we
now
kill these things? How do we wipe them off the face of the planet? Get them out of here.
Let's step into Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. It is a loaded second hour. We'll talk with Robin Hook, who is the play-by-play guy of Western Michigan, coming up at 7:27 because we want boots on the ground of, did they get robbed?
Yes.
Well, they didn't. Here's the interesting part of this story.
Yeah.
They didn't challenge it. They were like, we've seen the evidence. We support the Big Ten. They did a press conference with the president and the coach. And they
how
were
much
like,
did the Big Ten give them? How much money do you think they gave them? Tony Petitti handed
them. They had to have made like $2 million from playing.
They made a lot of money from that game. Like, hey, I want you guys to go be quiet.
I watched the video that they sent out.
I did too.
And so the whole premise comes down to,
is there a secret clock?
Do you believe that that's authentic?
Is there a secret clock?
Well, it's more like, should 0.2 seconds be booted to a second for one more play?
How long have we all been watching college football for?
My whole life, basically.
How old are you, Swag?
Old enough.
Okay. Watching college football your entire life?
When I figured out how to work.
This is pretty cool.
You're right there?
You're right.
You did it to yourself.
That one, yeah. How many times have we heard about a secret clock?
I have never heard of a secret clock.
I rest my case.
I didn't know there were other clocks we're operating on, personally.
So now the one I'm watching on TV is not the right clock, and it's been a lie my entire life? There's actually always been some hidden clock behind at the Big Ten headquarters?
There's a different sync system.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, yeah, makes sense. Totally makes sense.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying you're not, people aren't right to call it out, but also, like, Western Michigan didn't fight very hard for a team that got robbed.
Yeah, they also just, there's not a lot of fighting power there, you know? It's like somebody getting in trouble, but they can't afford an attorney, but a rich person gets in trouble and they have the most wealthy attorney behind them. That's the world we're living in right now.
Weirdly, the best play for Underwood all night was that last pass. It was a dime.
The only positive takeaway
was great.
Only positive takeaway for Michigan is they should wear those yellow jerseys more often. That's a good look. I like the all the yellow look.
I like it with the dark blue pants.
You like the yellow top blue pants?
Yeah, I think that's a good combo.
Yeah, they just, you know, yellow's kind of a rare one for them.
It's a hard color to pull off, and they do it well.
They do, yeah.
It's a yellow gold.
And I forget, was it who was doing the color commentary?
That would have been
there's Noah Eagle and
Blackledge.
He was great because he totally called out Buchanan that this has to go to Buchanan.
Yeah, he did.
Right before. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Michigan's weird.
Yes.
I don't think anybody trusts Michigan.
No.
And they've got a quarterback problem, and it's evident.
We'll hear from Kyle in a moment.
We will hear from Kyle Whittingham. Let's step into the cafe. We've already stepped in here.
We got distracted there in the lobby. They must have had some pastries out. We just started eating donuts as we're waiting for our table.
We let a group go ahead of us.
We did, dude. Talking. They said it was ready. What are we doing over here, man?
Finish our cigarette.
Yeah. Okay, I'm ready now.
Rip a dart and then head in. Blow it all out as the door's open.
Thank you.
My grandma used to be great at that move. Rip one
Get
dart.
Get it all out. Get it all out.
Door's opening. Then step right in there and still smell like cigarette smoke. Ah.
Give me a cinnamon roll.
Today's house special, mainly because we just had to change it. It's the senior citizen choice. Swigard, what are we eating today?
Well, since I did enjoy a lovely late brunch on Labor Day, I had a baked egg crock with hash browns, mushrooms, and ham in a bechamel sauce. And two pistachio espresso martinis.
Two?
They
two
were so. I could have had seven of them. They were
you
so
two brunch
good.
Martinis?
Yeah.
Swag's feeling good.
A pistachio martini.
It was an espresso martini, and the guy said, "Hey, we've got some flavorings, pistachio." What I was like, throw some pistachio in there.
What are we doing here? We're getting hammered, is what we're doing.
It was 11.
Okay.
Does that make it better
that
or worse?
An AM, not
it's a holiday.
It's a holiday. What do you want from me? It's a vacation beer. Everybody's drinking at 8 a.m.
Do what you want, I guess. All right, let's get it going.
I don't have any kids.
Yeah, you got nothing to do, man. I'd be doing the same thing if I didn't have to chase a two-year-old around.
Order up. About the new Portland Trailblazer signing of Young Jung Lee, who was called the South Korean.
What?
Clay Thompson when he's coming out of Davidson.
What?
Yeah, buddy.
No, get it out.
Buried in the weekend?
Veto.
No.
Veto. Get it out. Challenge flag. Get
signed
it out.
A basketball player.
I have no thoughts. I have no comments.
What's
no,
an Exhibit
nothing.
10 contract?
Nobody cares. It's irrelevant.
Was he in camp? And that may be it.
The last time we got a shooter, he didn't play in the playoffs. Okay? Sure. South Korean Klay Thompson. He's going to go with Chinese Jokic. I'm sure these two guys are going to dominate. I'm sure.
I didn't realize you'd go here right off the bat.
This is awesome. Is he over 6'2"? Probably not. He's probably 6'2" on the dot.
What is Veet Krejci? What's his
supposedly
country?
Six? Oh,
is he
Croatian?
Croatia?
Serbian? Czechia? Somewhere in that
so
neck
we have
of the
Croatian
woods.
Czechia.
Czechia?
He's a Czechia guy.
So we got Czechia Reggie Miller,
right.
Chinese Jokic, and now Korean Klay
Thompson. Yeah.
It's pretty good triplets. But I couldn't think of what to say there. I was going to say tandem, but there's three. Doesn't work.
Can we get like
threesome? It's a pretty good
South
threesome.
South American LeBron? Can we like
ooh, that's the last one of our Infinity Stones that we're missing, is it not?
We need a big 6'8", 260-pound Argentinian.
Argentinian LeBron. That's what
Young
we're missing.
Jung Lee is a basketball player that we signed to an exhibition 10-day. I'll just say this, okay? I don't have a lot on this. I want to get to the football stuff. No disrespect. Believe absolutely not a single soul in this city that tells you anything about Byung Jung Lee and what the signing means or how good he is. Nobody knows. All you're going to do is hear regurgitating of the organization and what they've been told. Yep. Or, I saw highlights on YouTube.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this guy ain't going to play. Hot take.
Unless he is Korean Klay Thompson.
Hot take. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not going to see this guy a lot this year.
Okay. That's a bit of a hot take for me, but to each his own. Thank you.
It's not something that's infinite. I mean, at some point, we've got to turn a corner and we've got to see improvement as we do with a bunch of stuff. We've got to see improvement out of the coaches. And so it's not just on Bryce, but it's not just Bryce's job that is not absolutely set in concrete. Nobody's is. I mean, we've got to perform week in and week out and become, somebody that we feel like it's playing at a level that we can win with. And that goes far beyond Bryce. It goes throughout the whole team. And so it's what you've done lately has been important and fruitful.
There's Michigan head coach Kyle Whittingham coming off of a Hail Mary gift of a win against Western Michigan. And I love what he says there, like, not everybody's job's guaranteed. It's like, dude, it's the most obvious. If they struggle in that first quarter against Oklahoma, which I think they will because Venables.
That defense is pretty solid this year.
Well, they looked, I know they played a patsy. They looked good, man. He is getting yanked this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the hottest take I'll give today probably is Underwood will not be quarterbacking the second half of this game.
Yeah, we asked the question coming into the year, like, nobody's given him the chance to progress or get better. And it's like, yeah, that's...
Raising hands.
And then you see him and you're like, yep, it looks like he didn't get any better. It was bad. Joe Klatt did a good film breakdown of it, too. Like, even on the opening touchdown drive, three of his completions, he made the wrong read. Like, he threw the ball into double coverage twice.
Like, it wasn't great.
Even though they scored a touchdown, it was not that impressive. He was 12 of 22. He obviously had the Hail Mary at the end of the game, which accounted for 47 yards of his 170 yards.
It was also his second Hail Mary attempt. The first one went out of the end zone.
He threw it out of the back of the end zone. That's the whole point of why there shouldn't have been any time left on the clock, because I think it was 5 yards out of the back of the end zone. Everybody's jumping out of bounds to try in order to touch it. It just... Western Michigan should have won the game. Highway robbery, and Michigan's got a lot of questions. Man, I've never seen a coach more upset about a field storming. Like, that post-game interview was almost uncomfortable. I mean, fans are going crazy. Whittingham's like, what did I sign up for? Like, this is, what are we doing right now?
Yeah, I don't know how to gauge how this is all going to go for Kyle Whittingham. I just feel very confident in saying I think he will absolutely make a quarterback change. We will continue to ask the question, should you be signing five-star top quarterbacks and then playing them day one? It doesn't seem to be going well almost anywhere.
Yep.
And it's kind of an embarrassing moment for their fan base. It's one thing to defend the second thing.
Yeah.
I understand that. Like, that's fun. Storming the field because you won on a Hail Mary against Western Michigan?
If Oregon needs a Hail Mary to beat Western Michigan at home, I'm booing them off the field.
Who do you guys play week three? Is it Portland State?
Portland State.
If you need a Hail Mary to beat Portland
I'm calling for Dan Lanning to be fired. If you need a Hail Mary to win that game, like, it's it, dude. Wrap it up, go home.
Good take.
Order up. Yeah, I'm not very happy about it. We have a half a yard to gain. If we can't get a half a yard, we don't deserve to get in the end zone.
And what will you continue to tell your team moving forward?
We got to run the ball a lot better than we're running the ball. We got to hit passes that we're not hitting. We got to continue to play great defense, but we got to score some points. It's embarrassing right now.
That was Jed Fish on the NBC halftime interview. The Apple Cup was played on Sunday.
Yes, it was.
And talk about ugly football games. This one was ugly, and it came down to the wire. Washington ends up winning by 2 touchdowns, but the score, I don't think, is really indicative of the game and how it all kind of
Washington
felt.
State could not move the football, and Washington could not
Well, they got
take
stuffed there at the end of the first. He went for it on fourth down, which I love the call.
Yeah.
But they got stuffed, like, really badly by the defensive front, and he went into the half super pissed. Washington ends up winning.
Yeah, it's one of those wins where you don't feel good at all about it, probably on the outside, because of what Swag pointed out. Washington State had one of the worst passing offenses I've ever – like, that quarterback
could not
terrible.
Move the football.
He can't see the field. He looks to scramble on every play. Like, there's nothing there. And then somehow you look up halfway through the third quarter and you're like – or early in the fourth, you're like, this is a 10-7 game right now? What? How is that possible? And then things somehow got worse for Washington in the outcome of the game, because even when they're up 24-10 running out the clock, they still have their starting running backs in, and both of the top two guys ended up getting hurt. And Fish talked about them yesterday. Jaden Lamar took a gnarly hit at the end of the game. He's going to be out for an extended period of time. And then Quade Carr, I think, is going to be out for a huge chunk of the season now. And so they had a hard time running the ball outside of Damon Williams scrambling. It's only going to get harder going forward because your running backs just got hurt too.
Yeah, the Jaden Lamar injury was gross. He stood up.
That was nasty.
It looked weird, and I didn't know if that was a leg thing. And then he stood up, and I saw the arm swollen to twice the size within 2 seconds. And I went,
Nope, not watching that
replay. And, of course, they showed it. And I'm like, cool, I'm not watching.
Look away.
But Washington gets the win in the Apple Cup. They're 14-3, I think, in the last 17 Apple Cups.
That sounds about right.
So, pretty clear domination, but every game seems to be kind of interesting.
My only beef with that game was, you see Coward coming out as like a husky honk over the weekend on Twitter.
I mean, he grew up in the Seattle area, didn't he?
I mean, but I don't know. That's just a random fandom to have later in life. Like, I've never heard you talk about
that
one.
He grew up on the coast, like at Aberdeen.
Well, he also went to Eastern Washington. He didn't go to Washington. Yeah. And then on top of that,
well, he's a big front-running city.
He said
guy. There
used to be a time when the Cougars could come to Seattle and beat us. And it's like, you mean like literally 2 years ago? They literally won in Seattle 2 years ago. Earth to Matilda. They played college football every year.
He's a big front-running city guy. He always defends USC.
I know. That one
Ram
would just
guy,
be like, dude, get out of here.
Yeah, people have noted he grew up in a coastal town that's like almost 2 hours, I think, from Seattle, but he always claims he grew up in Seattle.
It's like going to Bellevue Community College and becoming a honk.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Who are you talking about right now?
Could be anybody.
Order up. Hayes tried to get him to jump offside. Now gets ready to receive the snap and does. Hands it off. Off the left side, Alston. Big hole. 25 to the 20. He's to the 15. Breaks the tackle. 10-yard line. 5. Touchdown left pylon. 29-yard touchdown run. Damari Alston. As he bounced it to the left side. His second touchdown of the game.
Not a lot on this game. That was Bruce Howard of Learfield, Tulsa. Tulsa was hosting Oklahoma State.
Tulsa?
Morris and Mestemaker not off to a great start. The Cowboys look as bad as they did last year. He threw for a 4.9-yard average, had two picks in this game, and they get bludgeoned by G6 Tulsa.
Yeah, they were. He was under siege the entire game. I went back and watched pieces of this one, knowing that Oregon was going to play him next weekend. Mestemaker certainly was a headline guy in the portal this offseason, and I don't know where their season's going to go from here, but their offensive line play in that game was alarming. He never had a clean pocket to stand in and throw in, and so if that's what you were in week one, tells me it should be a matchup that goes Oregon's way. But I will point out, a couple years ago, I remember when Oregon damn near lost to Texas Tech in the second week of the year. The week before that, Texas Tech lost to Wyoming. And we went in thinking, like, oh, this will be a cakewalk. And then they pushed them all the way to the brink. And so who knows what will happen on Saturday, but a horrible start for Oklahoma State.
Order up!
All right, guys, we started here like 7-8 months ago, whatever it was. All right? And we asked you to work really hard, okay? And we asked you to come back to work again and again and again. Okay, do you feel good about what happened?
I don't know.
Who gives a f*** what happened? That's what's supposed to happen. Ain't no f***ing celebrations for that. They're f***ing soft. They work different. We're f***ing different. So you gotta show them again. They're gonna come out. Doesn't matter what plays they run. Doesn't matter what they do on offense, defense. Put the next motherfucker back in. I don't give a f***. You send them a f***ing message. Who the f*** is on their schedule? They have to play you! And don't think we let up late! No matter if you're in the game for one snap or 50 more snaps, you f***ing take it out on them! The whole f***ing world hates you! So you get a chance to show the whole world, go f*** yourself! Chris, you just have to see it right now! Team on 3, 1, 2, 3!
God, I hate to tell you this. I think a halftime video that got leaked at... with a 31-3 lead.
He's a lunatic.
He's absolutely nuts.
You never really see this side of Lane. It was kind of interesting in that regard.
He kind of got me back. I still think it's morally wrong to leave your team before a playoff starts.
Yeah.
Dude, 31-3, and you are that psychotic. Also, we work differ. Is he saying differ?
I don't know. That was kind of a weird
one
there.
Couldn't tell if it was different, that sounded weird or what. But
I don't know. He was kind of on a Germans bombing Pearl Harbor roll.
He did. He's on a roll. Don't get in the way right now. Okay?
They gave Clemson their worst loss in the Dabo era.
I mean, that was a lot of pent-up animosity, I think, from a coach and a team who has been – and they did it to themselves. That's the irony here. But they have been public enemy number one for how long now, right? And it's just like, all right, you want to talk all this crap about us? We didn't have the NFL players. We're going to go whoop your ass either way. He said that to Holly Rowe going into the locker room at halftime. Imagine if we had NFL players, how much we'd be up by him. Look, there is something that I respect about coaches who run their mouth after big wins. As long as you're willing to stand there and take it when you lose and not be a coward. His comment about the practice team putting up more points in their mock game than Clemson did. I was rooting for Clemson going in. The LSU thing, I am rooting for them to have at some point fail. That was absolutely hilarious.
Waiting for the snap back. Gennaro eyes the goalpost. Here they come. There's the kick. He's got distance. Is it good? It is good! Ole Miss has knocked off Louisville 41-38. Lucas Carnero. You gotta love it.
That is the end of the ball game.
There's the Rebels winning. Rebel Radio there. Game-winning field goal. A great football game between Ole Miss and Louisville. Louisville with a really nice loss this week, and I think showing a really strong team.
Yep.
Keenholtz was really good, and I text this to you guys, and I think I still stand by. I think Trinidad Chambliss is the most exciting player to watch in college football at quarterback. I know there's a lot of great positional players and defensive players. I think Trinidad Chambliss for me is just every other play, it feels like, is incredibly like, oh, what's he going to do here?
Yeah, there's also dumb stuff in the mix, too. He fumbled. He threw an interception in the first half, and you're like, uh-oh. And then he comes out, and they scored, what did they score, 31 points in the second half of the game, I think. That was one of the funnier games of just You could not have more opposite halves than that. The teams could not move the ball. They were turning it over. First half was ugly. It's 10-6. Like, when's the offense going to wake up? And then it ends up being 41-38 down to the last second. And every time somebody would score, here we go. The other team would respond back and score. And even Louisville scoring, the first thought I had was, that was way too much time. They're going to find a way to score here.
Empty backfield, Atkinson to throw, fires near the goal line, caught by Legree, breaks a tackle, and turns it in. Touchdown, Beavers.
There's Mike Parker, Learfield Beavers Radio. Jesse Legree making his name known to Oregon State fans. 5 catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown there. Braden Atkinson, 376 yards in his first FBS game on the road as the starting quarterback for Oregon State against Houston with a touchdown. And Oregon State loses 33-20, but a better second half for Oregon State.
I'm really curious how they hold up this weekend at home, man. I'm excited for that game. Maybe they could give you some more things to be excited about.
Dante steps up, wants to go down. Got him downfield. Moore, DeCorian sidesteps a play of 30. He might be able to make it. He's at the 10. He will make it to the end zone. DeCorian Moore.
Jerry Allen on the call here. Heard on 105.1, the Fan, home of the Oregon Ducks, as DeCorian Moore with a great deep pass from Dante, and then does like a little Reggie Bush stop. Both defenders run past.
Whoop!
He takes it.
Whoop!
He takes it
game
in.
One of those.
God, I love that sound.
Whoop! Whoop!
If you do it, I'm going to do it. All right? So stop doing it. All right? And they get the game-winning touchdown on that one. Got to stop. And Oregon holds off a feisty Boise State at Autzen Stadium. We'll dive back into this coming up in about 15 minutes or so. But Oregon gets the win to Corey Moore with the go-ahead touchdown.
It was an awesome play, a good reminder of the talent sometimes takes over. And thanks to Spencer Danielson for the end of the first half there. They mismanaged that clock. It gave Oregon one more possession. They took advantage of it, and then they were able to get the offense going from there.
I have a lot of respect for him. I thought it was cowardly to kick that field goal on fourth and short. I think it gave him 17.
Yeah, to make it 17-7.
You're in this to win this. Yeah. What do you? Field goals are not beating Oregon. You need tuds.
And then they did at the end of the first half, like, let's be aggressive, and then it handed Oregon the ball back, and they scored.
Like
there's a balance there for sure.
I didn't like it at all. We'll dive back more into that game. We'll get into the Oregon State stuff. We'll hear from Dan Lanning and Jamarcus Shepherd, and we might get to some NFL stuff. We'll have to wait and see. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday loaded show. We're back with the controversy at Ann Arbor. Was there a second or not a second? Robin Hook, Western Michigan play-by-play, joins us coming up next on The Fan.
Time to open the door to the Blazers. This is the Blazers Report, brought to you by Ponderosa Garage Doors, Portland's repair and installation experts.
About the new Portland Trail Blazers signing of Young Jung Lee, who was called the South Korean Klay Thompson when he's coming out of Davidson.
That is Ciro Asio with the...
Sure.
It's called the NBA with...
Yeah,
the NBA with
Ciro, with Ciro Asayo.
Asayo, thank you. The Blazers made a signing, Byung-Jung Lee, the South Korean Klay Thompson.
At least I'll give us credit for this. I'd rather have this guy than Ben Simmons, who's somehow back in the NBA. So at least we didn't fall into that trap, I guess.
Sure. We need shooting, and we've added shooting.
It's like Vic Krejci. Yep. Yeah, they're going to dominate this year.
This Blazer Report brought to you by Ponderosa Garage Doors, where they're taking service to new heights. Call Ponderosa today. Visit them online at PonderosaGarageDoors.com.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Got a lot to get to as the show rolls on. God, I am struggling to talk today. You ever have one of those days?
You have a three-day weekend, man. I tried try and say kick, catch, interference. I had a hard time with that one earlier.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, like, I talked, but I didn't talk a lot.
you kind of shut it down on the weekend, man. I'm not saying a lot over the weekend. I got to save my voice.
It is a Mail Sack Tuesday.
Mail Sack.
So get those questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour. Oregon narrowly escapes Boise State at Autzen Stadium.
Pack it home. Pack it up. Go home.
Some wondering about the defensive pass rush. Some wondering about the linebacker play or the secondary or the slow starting offense. I'm wondering What did Teddy Ballgame do to this Oregon team?
Can I tell you something funny, too? I'm going to have to hold it. Yeah, well, I'll give you the story. The timing of what happened at the end of the first half was actually really funny. I'll explain later in the show.
Hold it. We'll get to the mail sack in the final hour. We'll talk Oregon State. Get to the Apple Cup a little bit as well. And Kyle Shanahan doesn't even know what day or time it is, as he's been in Australia for about a week. And I can't wait to see that game kick off. The NFL kicks off tomorrow with Seattle. But let's talk about the biggest college football story of the weekend. If, Dirt, you would have told me Friday, we're going to talk with the Western Michigan play-by-play man on Tuesday.
I would have thought, what the hell happened?
I would have said they either just absolutely obliterated them or something insane happened, and something indeed insane happened. Robin Hook, the longtime play-by-play voice for Western Michigan, is joining us now. Robin, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us. We know it's been a busy couple days for you. Let's just start here. Second, no second, what you made of the secret clock that nobody knew existed. Western Michigan seemed to win the game, and then Michigan gets the second. They win on a Hail Mary.
Yeah, first let me just say that I commend the president of the university, Russ Cavallona, and Coach Taylor for the way they've handled this whole situation. They've been incredible, and I can't say enough about how they have been perceived around the country. I think Western Michigan is America's team here this week anyway, after the events that unfolded at Michigan on Saturday night. Going back and reliving it, it happened so fast, you guys. The end of the first Hail Mary to the play being reviewed and another play granted to Michigan. It happened really fast. I didn't realize how fast it was, but once the ball went up and the zero showed on the clock, we felt that the game was over and the Broncos had picked up the big victory at Michigan, the biggest victory in the history of the program. Had a lot of big victories, but none like that in front of a national television audience and 110,000 fans in the stadium. And a 27.5 point underdog to go in there and play so well, outplay Michigan, only to have the end result go the Wolverines' way. It happened so fast, and we didn't know why they were adding an extra second on the right. clock. We didn't know why until 2 hours after we were on the way home, almost home to Kalamazoo, when the announcement came out that they had this other clock that showed there was a second left. So that's how it went down. The Broncos, unfortunately, were on the losing end, but they won the hearts of America, that's for sure.
There's no doubt about that. They almost were more of a winner, I think, across the country than Michigan was, especially with what unfolded after the game. As you're watching that, like, bad calls are going to happen. Every team has benefited or been screwed by a bad call. That's one of the most egregious that – you know, I think a lot of us have seen, reminding me kind of the Texas-Nebraska Big 12 title game years ago where Colt McCoy threw the ball out of bounds and they came back and said, no, there's 1 second left on the clock, and Texas was able to kick the field goal and go on to win the conference championship. As you watch, I don't know how long you've been calling games for Western Michigan, but as you watch the Michigan fan base storm the field because
since
they beat...
Since
1984. So, that's great perspective. Like, Michigan's rushing the field after beating Western Michigan in the big... Like, I it's probably hard in the moment because you're in disbelief, but, like, what's going through your head in that scene and the field full of fans and you just had a win snatched away from you?
Well, go back a few minutes prior to the field rush. It was like a fire drill out of there by the Michigan fans because they thought this thing was over and that the Broncos had come in and upset them. That 27.5 point, underdog thing, that was crazy. I said all week leading up to that game, there's no way the Broncos run the football. They shorten the game. They use the clock. There's no one going to beat them by 4 touchdowns. And as it turned out, the Broncos were the better team on Saturday night, and the stats reflect that. Michigan did not play well, but the Broncos had a lot to do with that. And as far as rushing the field, that was a little strange to me that you would rush the field in that situation. But, you know, students sometimes, they do strange things.
There's no doubt they do. Robin Hook, the longtime play-by-play man for Western Michigan, robbed with the second, extra second. Okay, so I was actually going to ask you, I'm glad you kind of walked us through this. So you're on the call. You're probably making one of the biggest calls of your entire career because they've beaten Michigan in Michigan. They've stopped the Hail Mary. And then they have this weird review process. And I think those of us watching on television are kind of wondering, oh, my gosh, are they going to somehow give them a second? The broadcast on TV, Robin, is telling us, no, there's no second. This should be over. They come back, say there's 1 second. They then complete the Hail Mary. And it's the weirdest turn of events within a span of just a couple minutes. I'm really curious, when did you realize the secret clock existed and how hard is it to call a game when you're going off of, okay, they've added a second, but you're unaware of like this whole secret clock thing until you get on the bus or you get home. Like, how bizarre that all is to have to call a game in a situation where you're not given all of the in-game information.
Yeah, it's very strange. And I did not know that they had another clock, not even in the state of Michigan, in Illinois. I didn't know that there was another clock. I thought the game clock was the official clock, the clock in the stadium. That's what we saw go to zero on that first Hail Mary. And we thought the game is over. The Broncos have won. But then I barely got that out. The final score, Broncos 12, Michigan 7, and the official starts walking over to the sideline, and I noticed that immediately, and I said, oh boy, something's up. And then he came back and made the announcement that there was going to be one more play. Mm-hmm. We weren't sure how that all came down or what the process was. They had added a second earlier before the first Hail Mary. They added a second after they grounded the ball to stop the clock. It went from 8 seconds to 9 seconds. So driving home, we thought, why wouldn't everything be synced up once they reset the clock to nine? Mm. That seemed to be a little strange. But you know what? The university came out, the president and Coach Taylor have handled it so well. It's been just amazing the way they've handled it and that the team is moving forward. You know what? They play Monmouth this week in the home opener. Then they go to Rice. And then on the 26th of September, Boise State Broncos come into Waldo Stadium, Broncos against Broncos. And that could be a defining game when things come down in December, right?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. I was curious to ask you just kind of where you think their season goes. Like, this could either be a force that kind of brings everybody closer together. It could also be like, just stuck in the idea of we feel like we got robbed, and that's hard to overcome because that should have been, to your point, the biggest win in the history of the program. Is this a playoff contender, and how do you think their season goes the rest of the way from here? Because none of us were paying any attention to Western Michigan coming into the year.
Well, I'll tell you what, a great group of players that won the Mid-American Conference Championship a year ago. After dropping their first three games, they were one of the few teams that almost knocked off North Texas. You remember that North Texas team from last year, Mestemaker, the quarterback, who's now at Oklahoma State. They came into Waldo Stadium and had to win in overtime over Western Michigan. And then they went on to be right in the mix for a playoff spot and ended up not going to them. But the Broncos played them tough, probably their toughest game of the season, and came up in the short end of an overtime game. But after that, Western Michigan won 10 of their final 11 games, including blowouts over Miami in the MAC championship game and an annihilation of Kennesaw State in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. So knew it was a good team because a lot of those guys decided to come back. You know, Coach Taylor, they want to play for Coach Taylor. They want to make another championship run here, maybe even go farther than that and get into that playoff at the end of the year, because one of the group of six is going to get a shot, and the Broncos have a good shot to beat that team. But, you know, that's a long way off. They're going to concentrate on this next opponent and then go to Rice and then host Boise State and then get into the conference. They want to win another championship and let all that other stuff play out once the time comes.
Yeah, the story of the weekend, Western Michigan getting the extra second added for the Michigan Wolverines, who beat Western Michigan on a Hail Mary. Crowd storms the field, and Western Michigan has to go home. Back to Kalamazoo with no win at Ann Arbor, but many, I think, in America, to your point, polling for Western Michigan. It's a fun story. And you mentioned Boise State, two Bronco teams that probably walk away this weekend with good losses and everybody kind of having a newfound respect if they didn't know much about them. Robin Hook, our guest here, the longtime voice of Western Michigan football on hand, calling the game in the midst of the one-second debate. Thank you for joining us out here in Portland. We appreciate the time, Robin, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Robin Hook, longtime voice of Western Michigan. I'm not sure, Dirt, he's ever felt so robbed in his life of calling a football game.
How do you not?
And seeing it. The only thing I would push back on is this, because we can get to this later if we have time today. I actually disagree with the broadcast. They added from 8 to 9. I actually thought he spiked it at 10.
Mm.
That's some of the other debate is like, where should the game clock have really been when he spiked it?
Yeah.
And it was the home clock. I was odd that it went all the way down to 8. I would have just right. thought they'd just played with it at that point of keep it a second longer.
It's just, you're 100% fair there. I'd kind of forgotten about that, of them putting a second back on until he mentioned that in that moment, too, because we focus so much on the last play of the game.
There's a screenshot of him. The ball is on the ground, and it says 10, but it ticks down to 9.
And they said 9, and maybe it was close enough where it would have, I don't know how that all works. It's just the idea of, like, there's a whole different thing that we never knew about. All of us have watched college football our entire lives, and you're telling me that that's not the official clock anymore.
Right, it's
like,
very
just
odd.
All, now, in 2026, we're just learning that. Like, an Oregon fan chimed in earlier about their win against Oklahoma years ago with the controversial onside kick call, saying, should I be ashamed for rushing the field there? It wasn't the call or the referee decision that made the field rushing a shame. It was the fact that it was Western Michigan.
Yeah, beating Oklahoma in a controversial
definitely
way.
Controversial. They had no business winning Oklahoma. That game. It's still Adrian Peterson and Oklahoma and Bob Stoops. This is Western Michigan, man. Western Michigan.
We joke about the Blazers moving to Kalamazoo. Yes. They literally bust back to Kalamazoo after this
Kalamazoo!
Game.
Kalamazoo! What are we talking about?
Also underrated, great G6 game on the docket. Boise State has Memphis and Western Michigan on their schedule.
Fun games in the first month. I totally agree with the point. I'm rooting for that team like hell the rest of the way. Western Michigan going to the playoffs would be ball don't lie result at the end of this season.
G6 with a nice weekend for themselves. Western Michigan robbed in Ann Arbor. Let's get back into Oregon. The overreaction meter might be striking to some national college football pundits. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Mail Sack Tuesday. So you got to get those Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the final hour. We'll dive back into the local scene. We'll get to that here actually right now as somebody says Robin Hook sounded like a Mike Doc Parker Pepperidge Farm.
That's a pretty good
version.
Text. That's a great text. That's well played.
Just highway robbery and heartbreak for Western Michigan as they fall to Michigan, who is going to be hosting Oklahoma this weekend. And
have fun.
Yeah.
I'm betting the team total under. Whatever it is, I don't care. If 6.5, I'll take it. Give me the under.
What is the spread? Is Oklahoma double-digit favorites? Are they?
They should
minus
be.
Minus 5.5.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I'm looking at Alan.
If Underwood stays quarterback for even a half, I'm taking
the
Oklahoma.
The only question here is if the other Carr brother can save their offense and Michigan covers because of that.
Oklahoma minus 5.5.
I just... Am I driving up to Alene? No, but I'm contemplating
Would
it now.
Would you want to?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
I'm contemplating making that trip.
So we'll get into Oregon here as Oregon struggles at home, but they end up beating Boise State. And I mean struggles in the sense of like their
it was
offense.
A competitive game, yeah.
Their offense was great.
Their defense was good.
Buckled down after a slow start.
Penalties.
It was a 24-point spread. They won by 7. That's a struggle.
Yeah. Well, when you say struggle, it's like, well, yeah, but statistically they didn't against Boise. I would say that's my first takeaway. I want to get to what I wanted to get to here, but I just I want to note that. It is easily, you can get mad at like the end of season losses, the last two playoffs, and I don't blame anybody for making this the biggest. But if you're to say the Dan Lanning era in Oregon in year 5, how do you sum it up? And I would sum it up a lot of ways. I would also add to it, easily to me, the most consistently bad part of them in his tenure is They commit way too many penalties.
A lot of penalties on Saturday.
Well, it's not just, it's this a regular thing with Dan Lanning teams. Now, some games are clean, but he has a lot of bad penalty games. And that's just the only area, that's a big area that I would circle of Dan Lanning. It hasn't really bit them. He hasn't lost that many times, but it's an area of concern, I would say, under Dan Lanning is the amount of penalties his team commits.
It was a huge part of why Boise hung around in that game. They kept finding dumb ways to shoot themselves in the foot, from jumping off sides to giving them a fourth down that they could convert to having a couple of defensive pass interferences in the second half that directly led to Boise State points.
I think we're pretty aligned and level-headed that there is some concerning things, and we didn't expect this to be as close or tight as it was. Mm-hmm. And that may have been a mistake on us going in anyway, because Boise State, seemingly no matter what era coach, plays really well to Oregon. I will push back on the don't schedule them anymore crowd. We can't complain about Portland State games, and then like even when you've...
Dude, I'm fine. Anybody else? Texas, anybody else in the Pac-12, that's fine. Anybody, who else wants to come to town?
We gotta Colorado have State? Good games.
Colorado State, you want to come to town?
It was San great Diego to have State. A good game.
San Diego State, you're invited anytime you want, man. The Cougs? Cougs want to come back to Eugene? I'm all for it, dude. Come on back. We'll play again. I'd love it. Never play them again.
Don't be a coward.
And I want... And I
you
want,
won!
I want Boise State fan to know, like, you're in my kitchen. There was a part of my head going into this game. I picked Oregon to cover. I figured the talent will win out eventually. It'd be probably competitive in the first half, and then Oregon would pull away. There is absolutely 5% of my brain that went into that game saying, something dumb's going to happen, isn't it? It is, isn't it? It's Boise State. Something. It always happens. Every time we play, it doesn't matter how good Oregon is, how bad Oregon is, how good Boise is, how bad Boise is. It doesn't matter. Every time we play them, man.
They still own a winning record against you all time.
We're still, now we're 2-4, I think, against him, and both wins are one possession wins. This one different than, you know, you didn't need a kick return and a punt return in order to win it.
Right.
You kind of pulled, you know, not pulled away, but you got going about halfway through the second quarter towards the end of the first half. But still, yeah, it's just whatever it is. I don't know if they sacrificed a duck year ago. I don't know what the people in Boise did, but they got our number, man.
Well, whether there's Duck fans freaking out or Duck fans that are pretty level-headed because they saw this happen 2 years ago, the most important thing is getting the dub.
Yes.
Andy Staples of On3, a quite respected voice of college football, he has released his week one college football bracket.
Give it to me.
Oregon is first four out. He has eliminated Oregon from his playoff. Now, this is a week-to-week thing. He'll update it.
It's the dumbest thing sports media members do, by the way. This is one of the reasons I didn't want to do this the dirty pool way. Like, I might still do my rankings because those are fun. Like, if you had an AP vote, where would you put teams?
I think you should tell the college football playoff
is
their first one.
Because if I had an AP vote this week, I would unquestionably drop Oregon a little bit. How far? I don't know. How do you parcel through a win over Eastern Directional School Community College versus a Boise team that I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the college football playoff at the end of the year?
Right.
But this, I love it, dude. It feeds my narrative. Don't give us a chance.
Yeah, he
now
he,
I'm right.
He has taken Oregon
it
off
took
his
one week.
Playoff
it took
bracket.
One week for
they
you to not give us
the
a chance.
Game. You know who he put on? Boise State.
You know who else is in there? USC. I love it, dude. Don't give us a chance.
He also has UVA.
I mean, they look good in week one.
Yeah.
Did they play yesterday? Did they play this weekend? I'm assuming they did. I didn't see a Virginia score this week.
I don't think so.
That's a random sub thing.
Did
that we
you
didn't
see Franklin's
talk about,
first game, by the way?
They played Virginia Military Institute, and they beat the living hell out of them.
They ended up canceling a good – I forget who they canceled, but they canceled a team, and that's who they scheduled was Virginia Military.
VMI. When the VMI comes to town, you're scoring a lot of points.
Now, it wasn't ASU-Morgan State where they had to agree at the start of the fourth quarter to take time off to get the game over.
That's also the right call.
The game should end.
Just end the game at
70
the end of the,
to yeah. 7 going into the fourth. The game's over.
When Oregon plays Portland State, just do shout and then send everybody home.
They lost by 30 to San Diego.
Stick around.
State.
If you're still here for shout on a Friday night at 9:30, we'll do shout. And then after shout, like, there's no need for this.
Yeah, but I mean, look, the freak out, there's always going to be some local freak out. It did reach national. Andy Staples is not somebody I think is hot clickish, but he's eliminated Oregon out of his bracket.
There was another one. What's his name? It was music to my ears. Matt Haynes or Hayes? I don't know. He's a national
college football guy.
Football guy for USA Today. This is why nobody takes Oregon seriously. The very last thing you can do is believe this time is any different. He then went on to ask, do you trust them against USC? Do you trust them against Washington? This is why Dan Lanning's a fraud and will never win the big one.
He tweeted that?
Column on USA Today this weekend after that game.
Swag, can you work on I want Matt Hayes on the show tomorrow.
Bring it on, B. I can't wait.
How can you cite Washington and USC?
Because why would you trust them against Lincoln Riley, who he's 2-0 against, or Jed Fish, who he's 2-0? Like, if you want to question Dan Lanning in a rematch game against
Kalen
a national
DeBoer
title contender,
Indiana,
by
different.
All means, dude, I'm right there with you saying, I don't know if we can win this game, man. His track record isn't
How
very good.
How can you logically say that they've beaten USC twice in a row with Lincoln Riley, and now you're going, this is why?
The guy in three regular seasons has lost two games. And we're going to do go ahead, man. Go ahead and do it if you want to do it.
Yeah. We got to get Matt Hayes on the show. That's the week one stuff.
Sending an email now.
Thank you.
Fire it away.
There's a lot of takeaways and teams we have not talked much about. Miami, Texas looked apart, LSU, Ohio State. Like, we haven't touched on all the teams. Notre Dame was in a dogfight with Wisconsin until they weren't.
Yeah, pulled away in the second half.
Indiana with Hoover, bloody nose and all, like, still ended up, you know, rolling it up. And could you imagine Indiana going back-to-back years undefeated? It'd be crazy.
Hoover throwing that touchdown pass with a bloody nose was a pretty badass look when his helmet got ripped off. He's got blood dripping down his face.
Hey, I know their opponent wasn't good, but hot take, Indiana's still really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's also like this time of year, I'm not surprised Indiana's good. It's also really hard to compare wins against directional schools versus,
no doubt.
You know. Boise's not one of the top 10 teams in college football, but I think they're a really good team.
They got a lot of respect from their loss, whereas as you're seeing with Matt Hayes and Andy Staples, Oregon is somehow losing the respect of the playoff conversation despite winning the game.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, man. Go ahead and do it if you want to do it. We've seen Oregon teams start sluggish. That's kind of a calling card for Dan Lanning. The penalties are something they're unquestionably going to have to clean up. Some of those were just, you know, procedural things that will happen in week one, right? You're just a little rusty. You haven't played a football game in quite some time. But I love the way that the team responded in the second half, and I thought there were some positive takeaways in terms of the way your quarterback played, how good your wide receiver room was. And when you needed to at the end of the game, you essentially shut down any opportunity Boise had immediately. Outside of one one-handed catch from that cat from, where is he from in Oregon? Like Baker City or whatever, the strong kid? Mm-hmm. That guy was unbelievable for Boise this weekend. That one-handed catch he made late in the game was awesome. Outside of that, they didn't have a puncher's chance offensively to move the ball because Oregon knew that they were going to throw it. And so I never went to a place mentally of like, oh my god, they're going to lose this game. It was just of like, how long is it going to take you to wake up?
You never went there, huh?
I did not. If they didn't score
tie game late,
if it wasn't a 17-14 game at half, maybe my halftime thought is like, oh, we're down by 10. But then they got that touchdown at the end of the first half. It's 17-14. Mm-hmm. They were getting the ball to start the second half. I figured they would score, and they kicked a field goal to tie it. So I never went to a place mentally where I thought that they were going to lose.
Well, let's get into it a little bit more to kick off hour number three. New coordinators, so everybody's ready to pounce the minute it doesn't look functional and great. Their overreaction from the national media. Are you overreacting from what you saw in Oregon against Boise State, or do you think you're properly reacting? We'll dive into it coming up next, hour three, in the mail sack in hour four. We'll dive into Oregon State as well. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South, but for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.